Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
As Obi-Wan Kenobi once said, hello there and welcome to Databank Brawl, the podcast where we learn about Star Wars characters, discuss our feelings about those characters, and then make those characters fight for our amusement and yours. I am your host. My name is Joseph Scrimshaw. With me, as always, is Ken Knapsack.
Oh, you know what I always say. I'm happy to be here back on Databank Brawl.
And we also have another returning guest. It is just a little sip of whiskey.
You did give me a little sip, and I respect that because it's the afternoon here.
It is the afternoon. It is the Afternoons with Whiskey, your other podcast, right?
Yeah, Afternoons with smells so good.
Yeah. Welcome to Databank Brawl, where we just smell things live on air. Anyway, if you're a newer listener, we used to record this in the evening, and there'd always be just a splash of whiskey to go with our more bizarre, out there Star Wars fighting character show. And then we started recording in the mornings, and then we had to really reel ourselves back. But now it's late afternoon,
yeah.
Setting the mood, a little bit of whiskey, and a lot of fighting. We also want to let you know that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. This week, we're going to recommend Lords of the Sith by Paul S. Kemp, because it's a fighting book. Mm-hmm. So to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/4center. Again, that's audibletrial.com/4center for your free audiobook.
Great choice. Lords of the Sith, kind of forgotten in all the big canon books because it was so early on.
Yeah, so really early on. Good. It's, you know, if you've ever wondered, hey, how awkward is it for Palpatine and Vader to hang out? This book has an action-packed answer to that question. It's really good. Anyway, moving on. We are in a glorious time for Databank Brawl because slowly but surely they are adding more entries for both The Mandalorian and The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
We are staying in the glory of The Rise of Skywalker, and we'll be doing some Mandalorian as well. Mm. So far, the Databank isn't going too deep when it comes to Mandalorian. I think the general output of databank entries on the official StarWars.com databank has slowed down, but I did dig for some good ones for Rise of Skywalker. So, Ken, are you ready for our first combatant?
You better believe it.
All right. Our first combatant is, I'll throw out my bias, one of my favorite characters from Rise of Skywalker.
Uh-oh.
The famous Star Wars character, Ulbrek. Here's what the databank has to say. An eccentric Sith alchemist and metalsmith known for a steady hand, Ulbrek uses an ancient Sith forge to join the fragments of Kylo Ren's shattered helmet with a growing red lattice of Saracian iron. And that's it for the databank entry. So, Ulbrek.
Ulbrek. Ulbrek. And spelled, because here's some stuff.
Yep. So,
K-H at the end, right?
Yep. Ulbrekh.
Got it. There was some Ulbreks with no H that led me down a path.
A Star Wars path or some kind of German lingerie?
Star Wars
or?
Path. And then I accidentally clicked on a Disney Plus ad and my computer tried to get me sound for Disney Plus. We're back on track here. We got Ulbrek on my screen.
Ulbrek, the Sith gorilla. you know, we Ulbrek's keep talking about
together.
Stronger together. We keep talking about Rise of Skywalker having pulpy elements, and I always forget to list. Mm-hmm. There's a gorilla doing some metal work right at the beginning. So what does the Wikipedia have to say about Ulbrek?
As you said, not much. We just have the species. How are you saying that? Simeong,
so I think, because I think it's supposed to sound close to Simeon. Yeah.
Oh, good one, Pablo. Gender male, hair color brown, skin color fair. I guess that's a fair description.
Skin color fair?
Yeah. I mean, I guess you're just talking snoot, I guess, you know?
Okay, he's got a fair snoot.
It's like, you know, our chihuahuas are pink dogs, but you don't see that pink skin. You're covered in fur.
Okay.
But, all right, so there's a lot.
Has he had some adventures?
This is the old trick Wikipedia does. And for those listening to the show, kind of new, back in the day, we used to go to the wilds of Wikipedia to get kind of some backup information, not base the entire show off of it, but we also would go down maybe some legends tabs. And as time's gone on, you know, those legend tabs for a lot of the newer characters don't exist. So now we're just getting backup facts. Yeah, not much. It's actually just kind of describing the scene.
Okay.
Worked on board the Night Buzzard.
Okay, so that ship, that happens on the Knights of Ren ship.
Yeah.
Called the Night Buzzard.
The Night Buzzard.
Because we'll get into this, because the Knights of Ren aren't on the actual StarWars.com databank yet, but in the visual dictionary, you've read about them, right?
Yeah.
So they all have names that are, and everyone has made this joke, they're 80s hair metal bands, every one of them.
Yeah.
Their name.
So, Night Buzzard sounds great.
Like yeah, Sunset Strip. It's a great album.
Open for LA Guns. Other than that, yeah, the Saracian iron is what is the helmet is made of. So, yeah, nothing about him. Sith Forge, that's interesting you mentioned that. Molten, it's molten Saracian iron. Nothing about him other than eccentric.
Okay.
Dexterous, steady hands and ears that were sensitive enough to tell the temperature of metal based on the sound it made when struck.
Okay.
So that's big.
Yeah. That's important to his combat abilities.
Yeah. Other than that, a metalsmith made use of a hammer So he's got some of those kind of tools.
All right. So
that's it.
All right. Well, let's dig into his appearance and then we'll talk about our feelings. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's looking at this picture. He's a monkey.
Yeah.
With Yoda ears.
Yep.
And he is wearing a kind of stylized hoodie. And then.
Yeah, that's fair.
How would you describe the thing on his face?
He's got a viewfinder without the round little film pieces in it.
He's watching
glued in front of his face.
He's watching Return of the Jedi.
Yes,
in there.
Yes. Got a lot of little on his. He's got a utility belt. He's got a lot of little pieces of equipment and stuff hanging on the front of his jacket.
Ah, yeah, he sure does. And he's got a little Star Wars pouch utility belt. You said, yeah. All right. So. Let's get into your feelings, because I just drank some whiskey, so I'm going to ask you. What are your...
I'll hold off on my sip.
Ken was about to sip, and I ruined it. What are your feelings about Albrecht, Sith alchemist?
I would say generally positive.
Yeah.
Not my favorite, but I like it. I think it's very Clone Wars-like to have just creatures be characters. Sharks, Riff Tamsin, we've talked about.
Right.
It's not my favorite thing. But I remember in the previews, and we were getting like, ooh, his helmet's being rebuilt. Look at those hands. Very alien-like
hands.
Yeah,
very furry.
So I was expecting this. I do, though, like, he wins me over. Albrecht wins me over when they're pushing in close, and he is in it for his work. He takes his work serious.
He's like mumbling, right?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah.
And I love that Kylo just gathers his friends. Everyone gather around. I'm going to rebuild my helmet.
Watch.
And I think that's, hey, they're all in the night buzzard. Makes sense. They got some entertainment for the evening.
Get over here, all the guys. Yeah. Vicarus and Aplik and Rat. Get over here and watch.
Dawkin,
you come here and watch, Dawkin. Whitesnake, all of you. So I love him.
Yeah.
Very, very much. I think. Because he rides the line between like, ooh, cool. And you gave a monkey Yoda ears and said, yeah, we're done.
We're done.
That's it. And we're out. And I love just the absurdity of that. Mm-hmm. Talk about tip of the iceberg characters.
Yes.
So when I first saw the movie, so we were with the Knights of Ren. I thought it was he was of their tradition. Mm. But learning from the visual dictionary and from this, the Sith thing, and learning that Palpatine is like, I'll give you everything. In fact, take a monkey.
I need him to rebuild things.
Yeah. I have a gift for you.
Yeah.
And gives him a Sith metalsmith.
Yeah. Metalsmith.
How does that change your perception of Kylo rebuilding his helmet?
It adds to it. Adds that he's like, he really wants to do this, and maybe, you know, yeah, maybe there's not, was this a list of demands from Palpatine?
Yes, I will give you everything, but I have some conditions.
Yeah, yeah. So I like it. It adds to that moment because I like him rebuilding the helmet. So
I like him rebuilding the helmet too. And you know, we don't have to go off on that tangent, but I think it really works for me when Rey is talking to him about like, and you can't stop thinking about what you do for your father, and then he's almost like rebuilding it because he's trying to hide from himself.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and maybe even hide some of his emotions from Palpatine in some way. And
yeah.
But that's really interesting that Palpatine's like, hey, take my Sith gorilla.
Yeah.
Rebuild your helmet. So yeah, I really like what the character suggests. And since now that we know for sure that he's Sith, so much of what Palpatine's return is in, are these cultists on Exegol and all these people who don't have dark side powers, but believe in the way of the Sith, and that they're clearly coming from a variety of cultures, lots of them human, but like, what is his deal?
What's the deal?
Like, did he fall to this? Does Albrecht have disappointed Simon parents somewhere?
Yeah.
Or is it like, no, he's, you know, 500 years old and this is all he has done, that he's been forging Sith weapons for centuries,
He's been waiting. He's been part of this. You know, going back to the days of the High Republic.
Maybe we'll see him pop up.
Yeah.
And I also like, as you point out, that he seems utterly committed to his work with that. Yeah. He's just mumbling to himself about in good Sassarian armor.
And my final note on him here, you know, this would be a great Kenner action figure.
Oh my God,
this
yes,
would be
right
in the wheelhouse.
Right. And maybe even have to send away for Albrecht.
Yeah. And well, and you know, it wouldn't be called Albrecht, it would be like Monkey Man or something weird like that. You know. But yeah. Thank you. Classic Kenner names.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It would be something very insulting, like monkey face.
Yeah. Yeah. Monkey ears or something weird.
Weird ears. Yeah. So Albrecht, I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I need or want to say about him. He's awesome. He's got the Sith Forge. He's a Sith alchemist. Mm. Who is also maybe, who knows, maybe he's the one who scraped Palpatine out of the shaft of Death Star 2.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows? We'll be excited to see what happens to him and his sensitive ears. He has to go up against someone, and I really struggled to decide who, and I came down to a controversial character. Mm-hmm. Our next combatant is Beaumont Kin.
Wait a minute. I feel an agenda coming from you.
We'll see. Here is what the databank has to say about Beaumont Kin, a historian who once aspired to become an educator. Mm-hmm. After the destruction of the Hosnian system, Beaumont Kin abandoned his academic career to become a captain in the Resistance Intelligence Division. Mm-hmm. He offers the cause broad knowledge on a variety of topics.
I like this.
So you got Beaumont pulled up there?
Much like the visual dictionary, there's a lot on him there.
Yeah. So in this database entry, it really focuses on educator. Mm-hmm. In the visual dictionary, to my recollection, it focused on how he is an educator and a researcher, but he was particularly interested in the Sith.
Yeah, a historian, they call him here. Participated in the attack on Kashyyyk?
The attack on Kashyyyk? What?
Huh?
Huh? Is there a source for that?
I'm trying to... No, there isn't.
What? Going back to the wilds of Wikipedia.
Yeah, because it wouldn't... So initially my thought was... He's talking about like when Han freed Kashyyyk.
Oh.
But that he'd be like... Six when that
okay happened. Well maybe
or no he'd be like 11 or 12. He was by so here's some stats on a homeworld lurked born 5 years before the Battle of Yavin.
Okay,
so 5 years, nine, he'd be about 10 or 11 with the Kashyyyk. I don't think he participated in that battle unless he was there. Human male, 1.7 meters tall, hair color blonde, eyes blue, skin color light. Dominic Moynihan, of course, portrays him. So, there's
because the data he does have a kind of extensive entry in the data bank in the visual dictionary.
Okay, so he appeared, sorry folks, if you haven't listened to Data Bank Brawl, this is part of the fun. We discover things on the fly because this is often a surprise, the characters to me. He appeared in the Star Wars Adventures comic, three issues, which is Ghosts of Kashyyyk. So I don't read that series.
Got it.
I believe it's IDW. Yes, because there is a actual drawing of him, Derek Charm illustrated the story written by John Barber, and there's an actual picture of him.
Okay, so some of this backstory was really built out.
And it featured a three-part series, a comic story featuring Chewbacca helping defend Kashyyyk from a First Order attack, and Beaumont Kin was part of that.
Okay, interesting.
That makes sense.
Okay, so good. We already learned something. You can read more about Beaumont Kin. Where is my... Damn Albrecht comic book is what I have to say to that. So in the visual dictionary, it had a lot about how he was really interested in Sith stuff and actually went to like Moriband.
Yes, he did go to a lot of those places. It's pretty cool. He traveled around there. Yeah.
So that's in there.
That's in there. Yeah.
Moriband and Melkor.
Absolutely. I'm trying to find... go back up a little bit there. Started getting lost in how he got the role. It was a bet with J.J. Abrams. Yes. close with Resistance member Daz Carano. There's some quotes.
Oh, yeah. What's his quote?
It says, Chewie Beaumont Kin, Chewie's a living legend in the Resistance, the Rebel Alliance before. Why Beaumont? I had no idea. And the living you and the living legend were close enough for nicknames. There's a lot you don't know about me, Daz, says Beaumont.
Oh, well.
There's a lot I don't know of him.
All right.
Yeah.
In a physical description, he looks like Dominic Monaghan.
Dominic Monaghan, not quite a hobbit. He's grown up a bit, got a nice beard, good haircut, got the drab beige uniform of the Resistance there, a little blaster on his hip. He also got a poncho in that one shot. We all kind of saw some goggles. You need
nice.
Ponchos and goggles if you're fighting. And that's it.
Okay, well then nothing left but to talk about our feelings. How are you feeling about this character?
I love it for how awkward the character comes across in the movie. You know, we understand there's potentially some stuff that was shot and cut out, and that's not even a comment on the JJ cut, just that's how a movie's made. You can get some scenes cut for time, cut for pacing. He might be part of that. There might be more of him. But it does come off wonderfully awkward in a Star Wars traditional sense.
Yeah.
Of him filling in gaps, exposition gaps and whatnot in the story.
Yeah.
So I like him.
Yeah, you like him because
I like him, but
he kind of sticks out.
And again, I'm a fan of the Lord of the Rings movies, so it's like you're like, oh, cool. We got a Hobbit. Dominic Monaghan's here. And then it's like, all right. But I get the sense from him of just like, hey, we're going to Mordor. He knows about that stuff. We're going to go return the ring, and he knows it.
That he's done the research in the dark side, even in Lord of the Rings. Yeah, I had a friend text me just, you can't just put a Hobbit in a movie. That's distracting.
Right.
A friend who's a big fan of Lord of the Rings. So there's definitely that energy to it. I think what's fascinating to me is we don't know the character at all, but culturally we know the actor.
Yeah.
So there is this weird tension when he's suddenly, who is this guy?
Yeah.
Who we all know, but don't know. Yeah. Who knows a lot about the Sith? Why does he know that? And of course, once you read up in the backstory, it's fun to know that, like, is there a scene where he is, because I think this was in the visual dictionary as well, that he was helping Rey translate some of the passages in the ancient Jedi text. Like, is there a scene cut that established that there is a reason that he'd be like secrets only the Sith knew? Because it does, I think it's, you know what it is in that line that is weird and fun for me?
Mm.
It feels like you just like walked your grocery store that you go to every day and the grocer's just like, oh, yeah, the Illuminati. I know all about their secrets. Let me tell you where the treasure is buried in Washington, D.C. He comes across as just like this totally normal guy. And like, why are you like, oh, yeah, Sith secrets. What are you going to do?
You know what Sith be Sithin'.
Sith happens. Yeah, totally. It feels like he's almost going to say that. Do you actually like his performance?
I think he takes some some tough dialogue to just drop in there. You know, how do you do that? Sith secrets. Sith secrets only the Sith knew. Cloning, like, that's awkward.
Yeah.
And I think he did okay with that because he's a good actor. I love him. So,
yeah. I'm just kind of fascinated with him.
He went for it.
Every shot he has, he's going for it. And he's like, come on, Chewie. He's going for it. When I think, is it Finn that kind of half hugs him or pats his shoulder, and he's got this big goofy look on his face in the victory party on Agent Kloss, where he's like, can't believe, like, he went to 11 on every choice.
Now the most awkward one might be the holdo maneuver one, because that just seemed like a weird. Can we just do a holdo maneuver?
we got to start doing some holdo maneuvers. Yeah. And that was definitely one of the lines that popped for me on the first viewing of like, people have various strong opinions about that from one of the best Star Wars moments ever to it breaks canon.
Yeah.
People have a strong opinion. It's like, Hobbit, why are you poking the bear?
Don't kick the can, man.
Don't kick the holdo maneuver can, Hobbit.
Yeah.
Yep. So obviously, plenty to discuss, and we get a lot of both joy and criticism from this character. Anything else that you feel you want to say or that we need to know?
No, I'm just reading this quote from him on how he got the role. It has nothing to do with the episode, but it's big. It's weird.
Go for it.
He says this. JJ said, just be aware of the fact that there are massive sequences in Act 2. There are massive sequences in Act 3. But because we're shooting Act 1 first, I've put you in there and you seem not to be around as much in Act 2 and Act 3. But that's because that's what we're doing first. So I want you here. I want you invested. So read the script, but just know there won't be long until there will be a redraft of those things and we'll see you a little bit more. So I read it. And the script is amazing, and obviously there isn't a lot I can say. So I don't know when this came, but it just seems like, seems like they were like, "Hey, just come in. We need you to, we need you to do this.
Yeah,
we'll write you in more or cut you out.
Write you in or cut you out."
And this is from October, well before the movie came out.
Okay,
or any final cuts. From
yeah,
there.
And I think he said something somewhere about other even more deleted scenes that suggest that he was also a tech expert or something.
That he and Rose did some code breaking.
Oh yeah, some code breaking. Yeah. Yeah. So man, there is there's a lot going on there. I guess I will say quickly that. I choose to enjoy this character. I agree with the criticism that, hey, you got Rose, you got Maz Kanata. I kind of feel like Maz Kanata should have been saying some of those lines.
Right, right.
I feel like if he wasn't there, maybe Rose would have got more of that focus. If you're out there, you're listening, you feel strongly about that, I agree with that criticism personally. But we also want to just accept the films are what they are. And with that criticism in mind, I enjoy how strange this Hobbit's presence is in Star Wars and how he goes to 11 with every acting choice. So with that criticism in mind, we're going to have some fun with Beaumont Kin as he faces a Sith gorilla. Yeah. Let's fight.
Boom, boom, boom.
So as always, we like to decide when and where this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of thinking that this is maybe before the events of Rise of Skywalker, and Beaumont is exploring a Sith place, or do you want to go after Rise of Skywalker?
We can sometimes play around with the canon, right? So it makes sense. He's going around searching, and I think maybe he's heading to one of these Sith planets. I don't know if it's Exegol, but maybe it's Moorbound or something.
Yeah, because I don't think he's been able to find Exegol.
Right.
He's not that great.
Yeah,
he's amazing, Beaumont Kin. He's a hacker, a historian, an educator. I mean, he's so many things.
Warrior. and I think, that's his journey.
Okay, do you want him to go to Moorbound, where the valley of the Sith is, or do you want him to go to Malachor, which we saw in Rebels, site of many great Jedi Sith battles?
Ooh, Malachor's kind of interesting to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's going there to investigate. There's been some rumblings of maybe some activity there.
Okay. So while we're thinking it up, do you mind pulling up Malachor and seeing just like what information we have about the planet?
Absolutely. It would be a pleasure of doing that here.
Okay. So we got Beaumont heading there. I think he's got a little ship. I think I don't think he's in a fighter. I think he's in more of just like kind of a little sort of a shuttlecraft. Maybe it has some basic weapons, but I think he's a little cocky. He kind of grew up in a time where the Sith were mostly thought gone, and he thinks he's really being a historian, and going to these places is creepy, right?
Right.
But I don't think he has a fear that he's going to encounter
correct.
Actual Sith forces.
It's gone. Yeah, I got Malachor up.
Okay, so what do we know about Malachor? What kind of planet is outside of that temple that we saw in Rebels?
It's a rocky, hellish wasteland located in the Corlian sector of the galaxy's outer rim region.
Okay.
Planet shrouded in mystery and the location of an event known as the Great Scourge of Malachor, which took place thousands of years before the rise of the Empire. This is an ancient battle at the Sith Temple between the Sith and the Jedi Order. We saw super weapon activated, killing and petrifying all participants of the battle remaining for years after. We do see that in Star Wars Rebels, right? When Ezra goes there.
Yep.
Maul's kind of camping there. So
yeah, Maul got stranded there somehow.
Yeah, somehow, some way. And that, of course, that's the events of Rebels. So a barren planet, also described as a barren planet in the Outer Rim territories.
Okay, a barren, rocky hellscape. All right.
Yes.
Beaumont has packed a lunch.
Yes.
And some excavating material. And I think he lands. Landing gear come out. He lands, I think, right outside that Sith temple.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
And what do you think he's there in particular to discover? What does he want to know about the Sith?
He wants to know there's rumblings of activity, so he just wants to know, where did they leave it? Where did this last leave off? You know, there's rumors that maybe Ahsoka Tano was last seen on this planet. Jedi, what happened here? Legend's been passed down already of activity during that era. So he just wants to make sure, did they leave anything behind, any clues as to what they might be doing now?
Okay.
We're hearing other rumors, you know? We hear some stories, so... Yes, trying to see what did they drop their dinner mid-meal and run off? What happened?
I like this. I like that he's coming at it from a perspective of a historian who thinks they are in the past in its maybe superstition that they're coming back. So I'm gonna go to a graveyard and I'm gonna prove that that there's no activity. So I think he manages to get in the temple.
Yes.
Right? So he gets in the temple and he sees what we saw in Rebels, all these scattered corpses, various lightsabers strewn about, lots of stuff.
People in rock formations, yeah.
He is.
Jedi.
Yeah, he's just in history nerd heaven, right? This is amazing.
Oh, he looks around, he's like, statues, Jedi, Sith, a great battle. Many signs left behind.
I think he absolutely talks out loud to himself. I think he's got a little recorder on his belt to record his thoughts, and they almost always come out in a list of three or four short punctuated things that he sees. When he gets hungry, he's like, meat, cheese, drink, sustenance for my whole body.
So it's like me at a diner. Curly fries, club sandwich, happiness.
A malt?
Raspberry phosphate
with my best girl. Yeah, he's always saying that kind of thing. So he thinks he is discovering all of these great things. He sees this one petrified structure, relatively short. Yeah. It's kind of bent over something.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, a lot of these other bodies look like they've been devastated, but that looks pretty intact. And he reaches a hand out and he touches it. And he hears, and suddenly turning is Albrecht.
Yeah.
Sith gorilla, simian, with some of those tools in his hand. And one of them, in fact, is like a little firing, a little like iron.
Yeah.
Right? And it fires up.
Blowtorch, yeah.
The blowtorch. Thank you for the words.
Blowtorch. Iron is great, too.
Blowtorch in one hand. Yeah, and you know what? An iron in the other. Like you use this to smooth out your clothes.
I love that.
What does... I almost said Dominic Monaghan. Yeah. What does Beaumont Kyn say or do when he is suddenly faced by the full horror of Albrecht?
He stumbles back a couple feet and just goes, monkey ears, weapons, torch, Sith powers?
Yeah. And that is when Albrecht, without any question, without any hesitation, goes, and that blowtorch just races to his thigh. Did we get a height on Albrecht?
No, we did not. No, we did not.
Because it's not on the databank.
It's not on the databank. If Beaumont Kyn's about 1.7 meters, Albrecht's got to be around that, give or take a meter.
You think he's the same height?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. I still think out of cruelty, he goes for the exposed thigh. Do you think Beaumont's wearing pants or shorts?
Oh, definitely Explorer cargo shorts.
He's wearing cargo shorts. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So Albrecht goes for that pasty Beaumont Kyn thigh flesh and just torches him, the thigh. Mm-hmm. And I think Beaumont Kyn probably screams a bit.
Oh, he's instantly charred leg. And if you've ever, accidentally... I don't know if you're like me, if you're grilling quesadillas at home or something and you touch the pan accidentally. I had that happen recently. It's a bad night. So he's in a lot of pain.
There's blistering, horrible
blisters and blustery pus.
Yeah. And I think, Beaumont, out of instinct, what do you think he has on him in his hands?
He has some little forceps, like little pinchers. He was picking things up.
He's collecting things. Picking up history things.
Yes, picking up. And he's got like a satchel on his little utility belt there.
Okay.
Because he just likes picking things up to study later.
Okay. And I think
he does have a, I'll say he has a little blaster on his hip.
He does have a blaster, but his hands are full because he's got the little history forceps else?
A little satchel on his
belt. Okay. But the other hand is free.
Free. Yeah,
okay. Yeah. Because that's what he's going to eat lunch with later.
Yeah.
I think he reaches out with those forceps and I think he grabs onto Albrecht's sensitive ear.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Left one.
The left one. All right. Yep. And remind me what Albrecht's ears are so sensitive that they can hear temperature.
Can hear temperature is right. Dexter's steady hands and ears that were sensitive enough to tell the temperature of metal based on the sound it made when it struck.
Okay. So he can hear exactly how burnt Bumonkin's thigh is.
Yeah, he's like,
but suddenly, smash, he gets grabbed by these history forceps.
Yeah.
And what, so
history,
Albrecht
pinching forceps.
Albrecht probably makes some pain noises. But Albrecht, being a student of the Sith, knows that pain is a kind of power.
Yes, it is.
And
yes,
he funnels the pain into action.
Yeah.
What does Albrecht do?
He throws the iron at Bulmakin's face. Now, I've been hit by an iron as a kid.
Is this going to be?
This is a true story. I was like 4 or 5, and I'm sitting around, around my mom's side, and she's in a closet. And all of a sudden, I hear like, oh, no, no. And I look up, and an iron falls from the top of the closet and hits me on top of the head.
A burning iron?
No, no, no. But it was just an iron.
But still,
I was like
painful.
5 or 6. I remember this clear as day, and I was spent some time in an emergency room, and a bandage on my head.
Stitches?
I don't remember that. Maybe I don't think so. It was weird, and I mean, you know, your little heads are you're a little softer back in the day. You know, I was like, I remember because I was at preschool and kindergarten. I was at a Montessori school in the city of Orange at the time, and I remember going to school and I had a bandage on my head. So I can tell you, it's not a hot one. I'm glad. God forbid that would happen. But this Beaumont kid is, he's dazed.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So several things.
Yeah.
I think it's so great that the first two acts of violence, you're like, yeah, that happened to me. So I can't wait to see like what other horrible acts of violence.
A lot of who I am probably makes sense now with this iron.
I have not been hit in the head by the iron. I've been burned many times because I'm dumb, but I think inspired by your actual youth, I think not only does Albrecht hit him with the iron, I think he clocks him upside the head with the iron, but then also throws the iron in the air so it falls back down and it hits Bumonkin in the head, just like happened to you in your youth.
Sith iron power, yeah.
Sith, I mean, he's a metal worker and he's working with his metal.
He's not force sensitive, but he's so tapped in that the dark side is helping here. Yeah,
it's in a dark side place, right?
Boom, yeah.
Yeah, crack. Oh, Bumonkin is just dazed. He is just seeing things.
Yeah.
In fact, I think it would be interesting because we don't often have kind of chapters in our battles.
We don't.
I think Bumonkin actually blacks out.
Oh, this is great.
I think he holds on and then he's in pain. He can hear hear voices. He doesn't know if it's his fevered brain trying to figure it out, and he wakes up and he is now strapped to a pillar with strips of metal that have been forged together.
Yep.
And he can hear Albrecht working.
Mm-hmm.
He blinks awake, and just blinking, Albrecht turns, his sensitive ears having heard the blink. And that blowtorch comes on in his other hand. In Albrecht's other hand is the history forceps.
Yes.
Now he is walking up to Bumonkin to do God knows what to him.
Yeah.
Can Bumonkin escape? What does he have?
He's going to need to escape, but he's going to be driven to, inspired to escape because the torch and the forceps are approaching. And he's like, oh, no. Bumonkin's like, stop, I'll get you. Don't. And with the forceps, Albrecht reaches into one of the satchels, pulls out Bumonkin's lunch, and proceeds to warm it up with a torch and eat it right in front of Beaumont Ken.
A special kind of torch. Yeah. He heats the meat.
He's like, my Ronto jerky.
He heats the Ronto jerky. And if you've never seen a Simeon eat Ronto meat. It's not pretty. He just...
It's not good.
He devours it. He eats incredibly fast. And just meat in bits and gristle flying everywhere.
Yeah.
Very disturbing. Boy. Very disturbing.
Oh, boy.
And Albrecht actually manages to say something. He says, which, because Beaumont Kyn is a historian, he recognizes the ancient language of the Sith.
He speaks nine languages, allegedly.
Oh, wow.
Including Sherwook, so.
Oh, wow. So he's very, he's. So it's maybe it's a Simian dialect of an old Sith language, but Beaumont Kyn recognizes it, and he realizes that Albrecht has said, I am going to cut you up and add you to my metalwork designs.
Yes.
He is going to dissect Beaumont Kyn and just put bits of his bones and organs and add them to some metal work he's working
cartilage,
on.
Yeah.
Real, real disturbing. Beaumont Kyn has every motivation to get out of this.
Yeah.
And he is a, he's a pretty resourceful guy. So I think he realizes he needs to start to escape as Albrecht, after Albrecht said this, he goes to work on drinking his malt.
Yeah.
That he brought for his lunch.
That's my malt.
It's my Thaler Siren smoothie.
My malt going away, not by my mouth.
Desserts I'll never know. And he's got an idea.
Stolen milkshake. Desserts I'll never know.
He's got something in his cargo pants.
He does.
That I think that he thinks can help him.
He does. He can shimmy a little bit. So his arms, let me paint, repaint the picture for myself a little bit. He's got basically this metal's been smelted down around him.
Yeah, like kind of quickly forged.
Like binding. Yeah. Like it's a James Bond plot. His hands, so he can't take his hands out. He doesn't have like trick hands or like a thumb that moves, you know, that was an old bar trick or something. But he is slender enough that he can, he's slide, he's kind of moves and shape, and so he can get his hand to one of his cargo pockets.
Yeah.
And he's reaching in there, barely gets his hands in there, and he pulls out, a vibro blade, a little tiny vibro blade. You know, in case you need to cut something like a tree piece to study later or something like that. He pulls it out.
And he starts sawing?
Yeah.
Is he doing it discreetly behind his back or is it right out in front?
It's so if his arm's at his side, right? Mm-hmm. Is that, he's laying down? Is that what the situation
is? He's up against a pole, so he's standing up. Pole.
Okay. So yeah, it's like he's pulling out the cargo and he can flip it around so that the blade is up his pointing up from his hand. And he's kind of like slowly cutting into the one binder.
Oh yeah, yeah. And because he's a historian and not a biologist, he doesn't realize that if this monkey can hear me blink, it can probably hear me sawing away with a vibro blade.
Yep. Excellent point.
So Albrecht, there's been quite a lot of volume while he's sucking down the smoothie.
It's a good shake.
The shake. Yeah. I think he slowly walks behind Beaumont.
Yeah.
He uses the history forceps and he grabs the vibroblade out of Beaumont Kyn's hand.
Yeah.
And he slowly walks in front of him. He looks at him. Yeah. And he stabs him.
Stabs Beaumont Kyn.
He just stabs him right in the gut. Nothing fatal. Okay. Real painful though. Not much past the flesh, but just to show you what I can do.
Just to let you know who's boss.
Yeah, and what does Beaumont Kyn... Well, I think first he screams. But then what does he say? How does he process what's happening to him?
Body pierced. Vibroblade used against me. Tactics only a Sith would do. Must fight back.
Yeah. So it's at this point, Beaumont Kyn is often happens in Databank Brawl, is triggered with his fight or flight. Can't fly because he's bound. So he roars back and he headbutts Albrecht with all of his strength, right?
Right, right.
Bang! Albrecht is dazed. His ear still hurts from being grabbed. Albrecht drops the little vibro blade and stumbles back. His Simian Sith Gorilla foot hits something. He rolls on it. It's almost like slapstick. he accidentally rolls on it and kicks it into the air and falls on his ass. The thing that goes flying is the hilt of a lightsaber.
Oh, okay.
And it lands, as it flies through the air.
Yeah.
Beaumont has created just enough give that he can struggle his hand out, get a hand out, and he catches a lightsaber blade.
Yeah.
And he's studied these.
Yep.
He knows where the activation button is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jedi and Sith have fallen here.
Yeah.
What kind of blade is this?
Great question. This is a purple blade.
Oh,
it's a Jedi blade.
And is it just a single blade, double blade, vented cross saber?
It's just a classic single blade.
Classic single blade.
Yep. Yep. You know, Mace felt he had one in a million blades, but this is like two in 2 million.
Two in 2 million. The math checks out.
The math checks out, Mace. So he's got the blade.
All right.
Oh, the force is with me now.
Yeah. So I think he applies it to the bars to cut them open. He's not a Jedi.
Nope.
Does he do this successfully without hurting himself, or does he cut himself a little?
Cuts himself a little bit.
just
left,
a little.
Yeah. Left wrist. He has to kind of angle the blade up a little bit. You know.
Ooh, there's a little
right wrist, I should say. So he's free of that. Little scarring, little stinging.
He didn't lose the hand though.
Nope. The feet. He cuts one of his boots a little bit. One of the laces, excuse me. He's a little singed.
Yeah, okay. But he cuts himself free.
Yep.
Albrecht struggles to his feet terror, and Beaumont Ken is like, lightsaber.
Yep.
Weapon of a Jedi. Weapon I don't know how to use.
I'm not an expert.
Training
not for me.
And I think this is a great place to pause in our combat, as we always do, and give a little bit of thought of who we want to win and why. We are going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with the climax of Albrecht versus Beaumont Ken.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And we are back to conclude the epic battle between Albrecht the Sith Monkey and Beaumont Kin, the guy who played a hobbit.
So, look, going into episode 9, did you ever think coming out of it you'd be able to say that in a sentence on a Star Wars podcast?
Nope. And I'm delighted. So, as we left off, Albrecht the Sith Monkey was a bit dazed.
Yep.
He has plenty of weapons and has inflicted a lot of painful damage to Beaumont Kin.
Yep. And Beaumont's inflicted some on himself.
And Beaumont has cut himself a little bit, but Beaumont, in his explorer shorts, has an incredibly burnt thigh, a poke hole injury in his gut, a self-inflicted lightsaber burn to his own wrist, but is triumphantly standing free, wielding a purple lightsaber. So, Ken, who do you the very spirit of Star Wars.
Yeah.
Who do you want to win? And who do you think would win?
I think Albrecht would win.
Yeah.
I want Beaumont to win. I do like both these characters more now than even at the beginning of the show. I don't know if you have a bias against Beaumont Kin. Sometimes it's like, it's going to be like me with the Spice Girls, where I hated them until they were one of my favorite bands. I feel that might be you and Beaumont Kin.
I'd love to dislike him.
Yes, 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 you do. Next thing you know, you'd be like, oh, look, I'll buy that Spice Girls hat. So
I would buy a Beaumont Kin action figure.
It would be.
Particularly if it had talking phrases.
Or a history forceps. I'm going to say Albrecht would win.
Okay.
But because of where we set the story, it might not be a fatal victory, but it might be.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'll throw it out there. I got a bias. You know, you got a monkey, you want the monkey to win. Come on. Those are just comedy rules. There's the rule of three, and the monkey always wins.
The monkey always wins.
It's a Sith gorilla. Come on.
Come on, friends.
So I do think that Albrecht should come out of this victorious, but Beaumont Kin has shown a great fighting spirit. As much as I want to poke fun at him, mm-hmm. the way the character is presented in Rise of Skywalker, mm-hmm. resourceful, brave, totally committed.
Yeah.
So I think definitely get some licks in, but maybe ultimately not win in the combat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I second that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then let's tell that tale. Because right now, Beaumont Kin has a bit of an advantage because he has a lightsaber.
Yeah. And Albrecht's kind of been knocked to his butt, right?
Yeah, he's knocked to his butt. He is a little bit dazed. He got headbutted and then fell on his monkey butt. But he is climbing back. He's got a little bit of a wound in that sensitive ear from being grabbed with the history forceps. What do you think Albrecht does when he is suddenly faced with Beaumont Kin with a lightsaber?
He definitely is aware of the power of this weapon. So he definitely steps back a little bit, gets his balance, and he knows, I must find some way to block this. He looks around, Is there a weapon? Is there another weapon? Maybe it's another lightsaber.
Yeah.
And he looks out and he goes, oh, I found what I need. He reaches up, and from a petrified body, he grabs a vibro blade, like a staff.
Oh, like that can block.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't think Beaumont Ken is acting fast enough because he's kind of standing there.
He was just enjoying the pose.
Yeah, he was like, really living the hero moment.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so
Albrecht's able to kind of shake the cobwebs out of the blade, the staff, and activate it.
Yeah, I like that he acts. Yeah. So now they're kind of circling one another, right?
Yes.
I mean,
might be one of the pure lightsaber fights we ever have had here.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And I think Beaumont Ken has, like the nerd he is, he's interested in the Sith, but he's studied the Jedi.
Yep.
And he knows the lightsaber fighting forms.
So he actually yells. He's like, form two, to attack more than defend.
Vapod. I don't know if that is form two.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think he says one of the more offensive stances, right?
Yes.
So he takes that,
mm-hmm.
and then he charges. Attacking, hopefully, will work. Don't know.
Don't know. Not sure.
But he just unleashes
mm-hmm.
a flurry of lightsaber strikes, jabs. He does some flips in there.
Mm-hmm.
He yells and he screams because he's a passionate guy.
He is.
He's like, the Sith will not take me. Not today. Maybe another day. Not today.
Not today.
And it's all Albrecht can do. He's holding this the electro staff, and he's blocking, he's parrying, he's trying to kind of get out of the way, and he's battled back into a corner. And Beaumont King brings a big, powerful overhead slash down, and it makes Albrecht jump out of the way. And Albrecht is kind of cowering, and he is almost whimpering. And Beaumont thinks for a moment that he's won.
Yeah.
And he has that moment where he decides, does he go in for the kill, or does, since Albrecht seems to have stopped fighting, does he think I can learn the lesson of the Jedi and deignite in pacifism? What do you think he does when he thinks he has Albrecht cornered and frightened?
He studied enough to know that, you know, come on, like, this is not what a Jedi would do. He's read enough of the books. So he lowers the blade, puts out his hand, and says, we could be friends. Fighting is not always the way.
So he lowers the blade. It's still ignited.
What do you say?
He puts his hand out, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a big misreading of a lot of the Jedi ways.
It is. Because one of the things that the Jedi were about is pacifism, except for the Sith.
Except for the Sith.
And this is a Sith cultist monkey, owner of a Sith forge.
Still time, my friend, he says. You can change your heart.
We can do history together.
Mm-hmm. Find out secrets only the Sith knew. Oh, wait. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's when Albrecht tentatively reaches out a hand. Mm-hmm. He lays down the electro staff.
Yeah.
Shakily reaches out a hand to Beaumont.
Mm-hmm.
And then it forms into a fist.
Yeah.
Boom.
Boom.
Uppercut.
Uppercut.
Not an uppercut.
Not an uppercut. An uppercut.
An uppercut. Bang! Beaumont Ken goes flying.
Yeah.
That's when Albrecht realizes that he needs to show his full power, and he reveals, call me a Sith monkey. I'll show you what a monkey can do. He flips onto his hands, grabs the electro staff with his feet.
With his feet.
Yep. And he's just a wonder. He is suddenly walking on his hands, that electro staff spinning, and Beaumont Ken struggles to his feet.
Yeah.
Wham, he immediately gets hit in the face. He tries to get up again. Wham, that electro staff is right behind his knee.
Yeah.
He's on his ass again. Poor Beaumont. Albrecht, the Sith monkey, is just raining electro staff blows down on Beaumont Ken's battered, defenseless body.
Yeah. Beaumont's scuffling along on his butt, trying to get out of there. Boom, the blade, the staff's coming down. Boom, boom, boom. There's a cracking. I think the floor suddenly breaks away. And Beaumont Ken falls through the floor.
Wow.
Just as the final blow was coming down on his head.
Yeah, yep. And he falls.
Mm-hmm.
And he lands, bam, in total darkness.
Mm-hmm.
He is in horrible pain. The sound that when he hit was sickening.
Yeah.
His hands reach out to kind of explore his body, and he feels something hard where it shouldn't be hard and realizes a rib is sticking out.
Oh, man.
Has that happened to you?
No. No, now I'm worried it will.
And he's struggling to find a source of light.
Right.
And he manages to get into his satchel, which is still with him.
Yeah.
And he fires up a little handheld light, and he looks around, and he is disturbed to see.
Give him the light.
No, it's a little lamp. Okay. Yeah. Yep. He doesn't. And he is disturbed to see.
Yeah.
Albrecht's right there on top of him.
Oh yeah.
Ready to go.
Right.
And now this is a little rough.
Mm.
But go with me and let me know what you think.
Okay.
Beaumont Ken pleads for peace.
Peace.
That violence is mercy. Not the way of things.
Right.
How does he express that, Ken?
Mercy. I ask for mercy. Death not always needed. Sith can find other ways.
And in answer to that, mm-hmm. Albrecht goes... His ears twitch a little bit.
Yeah.
And he pulls that vibroblade out.
Mm-hmm.
He's holding it with a foot.
Oh, yeah.
He looks Beaumont Ken directly in the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And he lowers the vibroblade to Beaumont Ken's throat.
Mm.
And he just slowly, deliberately pulls it across Beaumont Ken's throat.
Oh, no.
And blood bubbles up and drains away into the darkness. Albrecht has murdered Beaumont Ken. And Albrecht climbs back up.
Yep.
Goes about his Sith monkey business.
Grabs the rest of the lunch.
Yep. He eats it all.
Yep.
And he collects the artifacts to bring back mm-hmm. to him, mm-hmm. with him, mm-hmm. to his master on Exegol.
Right.
What Albrecht did not know is when he cut the throat of Beaumont Ken.
Right.
Beaumont Ken was actually laying in a cloning tube and the blood drained into the system and is Beaumont Ken has this strange awakening, right? Where he has suddenly been recreated in this tube, but laying above him is his own massacred body. Tell me what goes through Beaumont Ken's mind, what he says, what he does when he wakes up.
I need those clothes. Cloning.
He's practical.
Yeah, cloning powers do not include clothes. I don't understand what's happened. I was just here. This clone is in my way. So he thinks he's real. He thinks he's real,
yeah. And this body is just a horrible nightmare he had.
Yes, yes. How did this happen?
So does he push past his own massacred body?
It's not pretty.
No, it's decayed a little bit.
Mm-mm. Oh no! Yeah,
yeah.
It's cloning is a big process there. So he gets up, but he takes the cargo shorts off.
The cargo shorts. No,
slides
a shirt.
It on. The shirt's a little bloody.
A little gross.
He looks around. Maybe there's something else he can find. He just puts a satchel on his cargo shorts. No food in it.
So this is a topless Beaumont Ken wearing just topless shorts and a satchel.
Yep. He's like, all right, well, I guess I better get back to my ship. I don't. Where's my history forceps?
Doesn't have any of his equipment. Doesn't have any of his lunch. Only he remembers his whole life, but only foggy memories.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I think he remembers landing here in pain. Right.
Yeah.
And I think he has an overwhelming thought of leave. Right?
Yeah, I better get out of here. That doesn't look good. That looks like me.
Yeah.
But not me. It's like, am I a historian or an educator or both? What does it mean?
Should I become a slicer and hack things?
Yeah.
And I think it's a long, laborious process that filled with darkness.
Yeah.
But I think he does find his way back up, climbing through various broken layers back to the top.
yeah.
level of the Sith Temple. Mm. Does he do any more history? Does he collect any data, or does he just get out of there?
He looks around the barren wasteland that is the inside of this temple on Malachor, which is beneath the surface. Looks around and goes, petrified Jedi, dark powers, emerging presence. It's time to go home.
And I think he runs out of the temple toward his ship, topless, just the shorts and the satchel. And what he does not see as he runs out, but we the audience can see, is a big hunk of twisted metal that's now been propped up on one of the walls.
Yep.
And burned into it with a blowtorch is this visual depiction of the epic battle between Beaumont Kin and Albrecht.
Yes.
In ending with Albrecht slitting his throat, in the final picture is Albrecht holding his hands in the air, triumphant.
Triumphantly.
And Albrecht has no idea that Beaumont Kin, that lucky, plucky historian, has found a way to survive.
It's amazed that he's now part of history.
Amazed he's now part of history, and Beaumont Kin takes off. Soon he'll be a part of even more history. Mm-hmm. That is our main adventure. But Ken, do you have any post-credit scenes?
Yeah, he flies back into a resistance base and lands a ship, and he gets out, and Vober Dan comes up to him.
Yay.
And he's like, oh, man, you got a lot of dust on your ship. You're making my spaceport dirty. Where'd you go? And Beaumont Kin just scratches his head and says, dark memory, shadows. I'm really hungry. And walks off.
Secrets even Beaumont Kin doesn't know about himself. That is our adventure. That's great. A surprise appearance by Vober Dan. So happy to see him. Such a great guy. We are very happy to be getting back into doing some more Databank Brawls. They're every other week, but we have some great new fun characters to play with like this, which is really, really great. Ken, where can people find you?
You can find me at Ken Knapsack, or go to KenKnapsack.com for information on shows, my book, and more.
Excellent. If there are characters that you want to see fight, you can always let us know with the hashtag DataBankBrawl. Odds are that there's some that you are thinking of that we will be fighting very, very soon. We always like to thank Tony Thaxton as well for our theme music. Tony always has a lot of great stuff going on.
Yeah.
He has got a couple different projects and Patreons and podcasts, and he's on tour with his band, Motion City Soundtrack, so go check that out. You can also check out our Patreon at patreon.com/ForceCenter. You can find me personally on Twitter and Instagram is at Joseph Scrimshaw, and check out my albums, podcasts, and shows on my website at josephscrimshaw.com. You can like Force Center on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Force Center Pod. And until next time, as Luke Skywalker once said, well, no one was really listening to him. I care. That's it for Databank Brawl.